If you're ready for freedom from the grind, then passive income from real estate investing is the best way to get you there. If you don't know where to start or what to do next, then the Rent Roll Radio Show is the best place to get you there. Join us while we discuss the best practices, strategies, and mindset you'll need and give you actionable content to get you from where you are to where you want to be. Hey, Rent Roll Radio listeners, welcome back to the show. As always, I'm your host, Sterling Chapman. Today, we are joined with a really special guest, Jay Connor. So Jay has been buying and selling houses since 2003, and he is averaging $71,000 in profits per project. He's rehabbed over 450 houses and been involved with over $52 million in transactions. In the last 7 years, Jay has completely automated his seven-figure income business to where he works in his business less than 10 hours a week. He's consulted over 2,000 real estate investors, raised $2.15 million in less than 90 days in private money. When cut off from the banks, he was a commercial developer, national speaker, and a best-selling author. Jay, welcome to the show, and thank you so much for joining us.
Absolutely, Sterling. Thank you so much for inviting me to come on here and talk about my favorite subject that I'm so passionate about, and that is private money.
Absolutely. So can you fill in the blanks for us? Did I miss anything on your introduction?
Well, I'm sure you did. but yeah, I'm from Eastern North Carolina. As you said, I've been buying and selling houses here in a very, very small market. My market's only 40,000 people, 40,000 people. And right now I'm doing 2 to 3 houses a month. Average profit now is actually up to $78,000 per house. So, you know, 2 to 3 deals a month, if you're a wholesaler, is not much. But if you're staying in your deals, like I do with private money and, you know, cashing them out, 2 to 3 houses a month, averaging $78,000 per house, those dollars work okay, particularly if you're working 10 hours, if you're working 10 hours per week. But yeah, here in a small market, the moral of that story is you can make big money in a small market if you know how to find the deals and you've got the cash available, you know, to do the deals. But full time since 2003, rehabbed over 450 houses. The first 6 years. I mean, here's really the crux of my story, Sterling. The first 6 years that my wife, Carol Joy, and I were in the business, from 2003 to 2009, we relied on local banks to fund our deals. That's all I knew. I didn't know anything about private money. I didn't know anything about creative financing and buying houses subject to the existing note. Well, in January of 2009, after being in this business for 6 years, I called up my banker here at the local bank in Morehead City, North Carolina. I'd had a relationship with him for 6 years, done a ton of deals, and I learned very quickly on that phone call, Sterling, that I had lost my line of credit with no notice. I had an 800 credit score, done a ton of deals. Well, you see, Sterling, I didn't know that we had a financial crisis going on globally. Until now, I got a financial crisis and I've lost my line of credit. I got 2 houses under contract with no funding, no line of credit. So my definition of coincidence, Sterling, is God's way of staying anonymous. In less than 2 weeks of losing my line of credit, I got introduced to this world of private money and private lending. I'm not talking hard money. I'm not talking institutional money. I'm talking about doing business with individuals that use their investment capital and or their retirement funds to fund $1 million in private money funding available. I was able to fund those 2 deals. And I tell you what, Sterling, thanks to private money, I've never missed out on a deal since January 2009.
Awesome. So I'm super excited to hear more about the private money. I've always enjoyed private money. But before we get to that, you mentioned earlier, you said, you know, as long as you know how to find deals. So before we jump onto the private money side, just, you know, selfishly, I'm always looking for a better way to find more deals. So how are you finding yours?
Well, that's a great question, particularly in this market. I can tell you where you're not going to find them, unless your market's different than mine. I haven't found a deal in the multiple listing service in 3 years.
Yeah, same. Same.
They're not. I mean, I remember the day when my realtor would send me the REOs, the bank-owned properties, and, you know, would send me some deal that looked good in the multiple listing service, and, you know, I'd buy it. Well, those days are not going on right now. So for the past 3 years, I have been using what we call off-market methods, meaning the house is off-market. The house is not listed in the multiple listing service. So the question is, how do you find these people that would be possibly motivated to sell their house? Well, I was sitting right here at my desk yesterday afternoon at 20 minutes to six, wrapping up the day, and my cell phone rang. And on the other end of that cell phone was a message from this company called Liberty Leads. Liberty Leads. Liberty Leads has been one of my secret sauces. And so now the word is getting out. Liberty Leads has been one of my secret sauces now for about a year. And they are a Google done-for-you paid-per-click service. All you do is give them your zip codes and, you know, the target area that you're looking for. And so the catch is, though, you got to buy 20 leads up front, and then they just sort of work off of your quote-unquote lead debit card, if you will.
Sure.
But those leads, Sterling, oh, my lands, all I need is five leads to buy a house. Five leads. Guess how much the leads cost me? $150. $150. Now, that's in my market. I'm here in Eastern North Carolina. In Raleigh, North Carolina, it's $325 a lead. But who cares? If you're buying one out of five and you're going to average a profit of $78,000, right? So what's beautiful about pay-per-click Google ad leads is those motivated sellers are looking for you. You're not looking, I mean, they're typing in their Google search, you know, buy my house fast, sell my house fast, that type of thing. And, you know, I mean, I use Facebook ads, but a Facebook ad, I got to have 20 leads, even though each lead only cost me $40. I got to have 20 leads on Facebook to buy a house. But, you know, a Facebook lead, it just shows up in somebody's newsfeed and they weren't looking for you. You know, that you just sort of scrolled up. Now, my most powerful source and method of finding motivated sellers is my own foreclosure system. My foreclosure system, my wife, Carol Joy, and I started putting together and perfecting all the way back to 2004. And of course, in this market, I mean, 50% of my houses I'm buying now are from using my foreclosure system, people in foreclosure. Foreclosure starts as of November last year up 219%. Over the previous year. And that's because, you know, all of them are opening up on this side of COVID. And so we track every foreclosure. We don't utilize any online sources. We find these foreclosures, people that are facing foreclosure before other real estate investors even know that these opportunities exist to serve these people, put some money in their pocket, and help them get back on their feet. I use 8 methods every day, every week, every month to get leads coming in. I dominate my market. I don't have much competition, but I use 8 different methods every day. And, you know, I tell people all the time, unless you have got consistent seller leads coming into your pipeline every day, you have a hobby, you do not have a business. So I'll just give you one more that is my most cost-effective way of finding motivated sellers. And they are what I call my church bird dogs. Well, what in the world is a church bird dog? It ain't a bird dog that hangs out at the church. A church bird dog are people that me and Carol Joy go to church with. One is a police officer in Beaufort, North Carolina. The other one is the son of our preacher that actually drives a truck around here in our area, delivering materials to builders. Well, guess what? I've got them trained to be on the lookout all the time for any kind of house. Most real estate investors would call it driving for dollars, but these people are out and about driving all the time. And so I say, look, when you see what looks to be like a vacant house. I don't care if it's got a for sale by owner sign in the front yard or not. But if it's vacant, you know, your most profitable deals are typically vacant. Take a picture, shoot it to me. I just bought a house recently, Sterling, over in Beaufort. The police officer took a picture of it, sent it to me, had a FSBO sign in front of it. I bought that house for $250,000. I put $35,000 worth of rehab in it and sold it in the multiple listing service for $450,000. And guess how much I spent on that marketing? $1,000. And I didn't spend any money on that until I bought the house. I paid the police officer a $1,000 referral fee for simply seeing a FSBO sign, taking a picture, and texting it to me. That's the most profitable of any marketing that we do. And so those are just a few of what we do every day.
Awesome. I love it. I definitely going to check out Liberty Leads and train an army of bird dogs to send me pictures. So let's dive into the topic that you're most passionate about, which is the private money. Well, tell me more about that.
Well, the reason I'm so passionate about it is because in the real world, what do most sellers of properties require? All the money, right? Yeah. I mean, you know, I've got a great friend that teaches people how to buy houses on terms. I've bought a ton of houses on terms, meaning the seller didn't require all the cash. You can buy subject to the existing note, whereas the owner of a house agrees to sell you their house, leave the mortgage in their name, and you agree to make their payments. That's buying subject to the existing note. Who in the world would agree to do that? A person that's motivated that needs debt relief, right? So I know all about buying on terms and creatively. But, you know, since 2003, Sterling, I have reviewed thousands and thousands and thousands of property lead sheets of individuals that have their house for sale, analyzing the numbers. Here's my statistics. Only 13% of people that give you information on their property will sell to you creatively. Meaning they'll sell to you on terms. They'll sell to you subject to the existing note. They'll sell to you with seller financing. They'll sell to you on a wrap or whatever. Mm. What do the other 87% require? All the money. And if you ain't got it, there ain't no deal. In fact, I just bought a house recently at 411 Chatham Street in Newport. It was free and clear. The seller wanted $95,000. Free and clear. The after repaired value is $240,000 and the rehab was only $40,000. That right there is a fantastic deal. But we negotiated to buy it with seller financing. It was free and clear. The seller said, nope, you give me all the cash or no deal. So we use private money. Now, I always borrow more money than I need to buy the house, which means I always bring home a big check when I buy. So I'll borrow up to 75% of the after-repaired value, and it's common for me to bring home a $50,000 check and more when I purchase that property without taking any of my own money to the closing table. I mean, let me ask the question, who wants to get paid to buy properties? Now, I'm not going to bring home a $50,000 check from the closing table unless there's a rehab involved, of course, but when you say, tell me about private money, the list is very long as to why I love private money. First of all, most of the sellers are going to require it. Secondly, I get multiple checks when I use private money. I bring home a check without taking any of my own money when I buy. I get another check when I cash out. If I sell it with on rent to own or lease purchase, I can collect a large non-refundable lease option deposit. My credit score has got nothing to do with the private money because we're not talking hard money. I make the rules. The private lenders don't set the interest rate. I make the rules. And here's another beautiful thing about private money. I've never asked anybody for money. Never. I've never asked anybody for money to loan me money on a deal. I've never pitched a deal. And people say, Jay, come on, cut the gab. How in the world do you borrow all that money and you never asked anybody for money, and you never pitched a deal. It's real simple. First of all, I own the real estate between my ears, meaning I've got the framing, I've got the talking points, I know what I'm talking about. And for you that's listening to this show, you can too. Now, let me tell you what, let me unpack that and like get out of this cloud conversation and get to specifics. First of all, I put on my teacher hat and I teach people that I've got some kind of connection with, go to church, go to the Rotary Club, social network, Chamber of Commerce, LinkedIn, you name it. I teach people what private money is. My 44 private lenders never heard of private money or private lending until I taught them about it. And in addition to that, they never heard of self-directed IRAs and how they can use their retirement funds to fund deals and earn money tax deferred or tax free, depending on the type of retirement account they got. So I teach them about private money. Well, that entire teaching takes 30 minutes using my simple PowerPoint presentation. And so I teach them about private money. And guess what? At the end of that conversation, they're chasing me. Now, here's one crucial piece. I never teach anybody about private money. And in the same conversation, talk about a deal I need funded. Holy moly, guacamole on my lands. I'm already sounding desperate without even meaning to sound desperate, right? So we separate the activity of number one, teaching them the private money lending program. We make the rules, we set the interest rate, all that. And then they learn about it. Well, I can tell you, if they've got investment capital or retirement funds, they're chasing you because they can't get these kinds of high rates of return safely and securely anywhere else. The stock market is so volatile, particularly in this market. They're looking for a reliable set rate of return. I mean, even in this market, I mean, the stupid certificate of deposit for 12 months is paying an average of 0.97%. A year ago, it was 0.17%. So we teach them the private lending program. Now they're chasing us. Now, all they simply tell me is how much money they've got to invest, either in investment capital and or retirement funds. And I say, great, I'll go find a deal for you to fund as soon as possible and put your money to work, all right? So you teach the program. Now you got a deal to fund. Maybe it's 2 days later. Maybe it's, by the way, you know the worst time to raise private money is when you need it, right? That's sure. The worst time to raise private money. You know, you're always, I mean, give birth to private money. What do I mean by that? When you have a baby, all you can talk about is your baby. You know, if you're old enough to be a grandfather, all you talk about is your grandbaby. Well, give birth to private money. Get excited. When you're excited about something, that's all you can talk about is what you're excited about. So we teach the private lending program. We know how much they've got to work with. So Sterling, let's say you're one of my new private lenders and you've told me you've got $200,000 you'd like to start with. By the way, they always have more than they tell you to begin with. So you've told me you got $200,000 to start with. I say, great, I'll go find you a deal just as soon as possible. So you told me that today. Next Thursday, I call you up. Here's the conversation. Notice in this conversation how I am not going to ask you for one penny. Here's the conversation. I call you up, ring, 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 ring. Hey, Sterling, how you doing? Great, Jay, fantastic day. Well, you going out on the boat today? Man, it's too cold. It's January. What are you talking about? Well, anyway, the reason I'm calling you, Sterling, is I promised you I'd call you when I have a deal for you to fund and put your money to work. And Sterling, I got great news for you. I can now put your money to work. I've got a house over in Newport with an after-repaired value of $200,000. Funding required for the deal is $150,000. You see, I know you got $150,000. You told me last week you got $200,000. So the funding required for the deal is $150,000. Closing is next Thursday, so you'll need to have your $150,000 wired to my real estate attorney next Wednesday. End of conversation. I didn't ask you if you wanted to do the deal. That's the most stupid question in the world I could ask you. Of course you want to do the deal. You've been waiting since last Thursday for me to call you to put your money to work. right?
Sure.
I didn't tell you the purchase price because you could care less. You see, here's what I learned in this business. The more you talk, the more you screw up and lose.
I used to have a sales manager in corporate America that would always tell me, use less words.
Exactly. So, I mean, and, you know, it's just keep it simple. I mean, so separate the activities, teach the private lending program. By the way, if you're listening to the show, I got you covered. I'll send you the private lending program that you can duplicate. So teach the private lending program. They tell you how much they got, right? You'll put their money to work for them as soon as possible. And you call them up and you got great news for them. It's time for them to fund the deal. And you see, the thing of it is, it's all about a mind shift, right? When I was borrowing money from the banks, the traditional way to borrow money is you go to Mrs. Banker or Mr. Banker, and you go in their office, and you get on your hands and knees, and you put your hands underneath your chin, and you say, please, Mr. Banker, please, Miss Banker, fund my deal. Would you please fund my deal? No, no, no. In this world, we are actually serving these private lenders and providing a service for them. They need us more than they need than we need them. I mean, prior to COVID, there was $18 trillion in cash sitting in people's retirement accounts that they can use for private money. Today, on this side of COVID, $31 trillion. That statistic is as of 2 months ago, probably more than that now. $31 trillion in cash sitting in people's retirement accounts. And here's the deal. People don't know what to do with their money safely and securely. And it's our moral obligation to fix their problem.
Absolutely. I love it. So what is some of the, has there ever been any snags you've run into with private lenders versus the banks? Is there any downside to this program?
Since 2009, I can only think of two phone calls that I made to private lenders, and I had their money in the queue. And what I mean by the queue is I used their money, I paid them off, cashed out, I called them back to use their money again, and they had other uses of the money. Only two times since 2009. And the reason is I didn't put their money back to work fast enough. You see, Private money is like, you know, bananas in the grocery store. You better consume that thing or it's going to go rotten on you and disappear. So when someone has pledged to you, I got money to put to work, you need to get that money to work. And when I have a new private lender, which I did last week at only $150,000, you know, small potatoes, but they told me just 2 weeks ago that they had the money. Well, I put their money to work last week. So whenever a new private lender says, hey, I got funds I want to put to work. Well, guess what? They go to the top of the list. And in fact, sometimes, Sterling, when I'll have a new private lender, if I don't have a deal for them, for me to put their money to work for, like, you know, in less than a month, I've been known to take that new private money and pay off a current private lender and get the new private lender's money to work so I can show them that I can actually use their money.
Yeah, new customer acquisition cost is always higher, and that, you know, that's across any industry. And to for good reason, right? You need to prove you need to show your proof of concept to them, right? Your old investor that is probably done 10 deals with them, they know you can deliver, and that, you know, they're more likely to wait 3 months or a month for you to find a new one. Whereas this new guy, you need to capitalize and lock in that relationship while interest is high.
Yeah, here's a ride or downer. The older, the colder. And that relates to anything in sales. For example, the older, the colder, the longer the time goes from the time you've got a seller lead come in your pipeline on a house until you get them on the phone, the less likely you're going to do business with them, right? Same thing with a private lender. From the time they tell you how much money they got to use, the older, the colder, the longer you take to put that money to work, the less likely it's going to be there.
Mm-hmm. For sure. For sure. So how, my other question, and I'm sorry, I'm hopping around. How is your profit per deal so high?
Well, it all comes down to how you buy, right? Mm-hmm. So first of all, to have a $78,000 profit, our median price, after repair value on selling a house is $325,000. So in order to make a $78,000 average profit, first of all, the lowest in recent months that I've sold a house, I sold it for $225,000. But I got other houses that I'll sell. I got one right now and be selling for $625,000. I got another one at 114 Yopon Road in Pine Knoll Shores. I'll be selling that one for $525,000. But I sold a condo about 3 weeks ago for $225,000. So you got that. You got that range in after repaired value of 225, you know, up to 500, with the median being in the 300s. But the only way to make a $78,000 average profit on a house is there's going to need to be a major rehab involved. I mean, typically a seller is not going to sell at a significantly discounted price unless there's some rehab going on. I've got a house under contract right now over on Forest View Road in Havelock. I'm buying the house for $105,000 cash, private money, closing it 1 week from this coming Monday is the contract. I'm paying $105,000. By the way, a quick little lesson. The seller, by the way, it's an inherited property, two daughters, that being two sisters, inherited the house. And one sister that we talked to that, by the way, it was a Facebook ad, so they wouldn't take a penny less than $135,000. Guess what? We offered $105,000. We justified the offer, as in I didn't pull that figure out of my ear, but we justified the offer of $105,000, and we said we can close in 7 days. Okay? So they took it. What's the moral of that story? A seller has no idea what they will really take for a property until you make the offer. And you know what, Sterling? I never bought a house that I didn't make an offer on. So my deal is, you know, if you want to, regardless of what the asking price is, if you want the property, make the offer. I'm sorry, I digress. Back to how in the world you make $78,000 on a house. So I'm buying it for $105,000. The after repaired value is $230,000. The rehab on the house is approximately $35,000. So let's run the numbers. Rehab $35,000. Why would these two sisters be willing to sell this house for $105,000? First of all, it's not my job to understand why people will do what they do. That's not my job to understand. But nonetheless, it's inherited. They have really no interest in the property. It does need repair. They don't want to put money in it. So let's run the numbers. 105 purchase, 35 rehab. I got 140 in it.
So what type of rehab are you doing for 35 grand?
So that's all cosmetic. So that's a small house, 1,300 square feet. So for $35,000, I'm going to be doing, and so this was brick, so I didn't need to do exterior paint. So this is all new interior paint, new luxury vinyl plank in the living areas and the kitchen, carpet in the bedrooms. This house did not need cabinets, so all that is paint. Countertops at this price point, I'm not putting granite countertops, even though I do granite a lot. I'm doing butcher block countertops. So basically, you're talking lipstick, all cosmetic on a 1,300 square foot house.
Okay. Tell me about butcher block.
So butcher block looks like a butcher block. In other words, sure, it looks like, you know, something you cut your meat on. But butcher block countertops look so much better than, say, you know, what you would buy at Home Depot or Lowe's.
What's the price point there?
Hmm?
What's the price point?
a third of granite.
Okay.
A third the cost of granite.
Awesome. So that's a great takeaway for me personally, because I put granite in everything. And sometimes we end up with these $200,000 houses in these neighborhoods that I don't think justify granite. But to your point, that crap you get from Home Depot, that's just, it just looks so weak. So I'm certainly going to take this away, take this to my guys. What is your construction crew consist of? Are you just picking third party general contractors? Do you have guys that work for you? How are you running these rehabs?
All the above. So I've had the same crew leaders. I got two crew leaders that we can be rehabbing two houses simultaneously. They've been with me for about 15 years. But due to the volume of business that I'm now doing, I got six projects going on at the same time. So I got two crew leaders. Then I've got two general contractors that I also do business with. So two generals and a crew. But that crew's not on my W-2. They're 1099, right. Even though what they do is the majority for me.
Yeah, I've got a similar setup as that. That's why I'm just curious. Now, how long do these rehabs typically take?
Well, it depends on the $5,000. That's very out of the ordinary. Very out of the ordinary. A good rule of thumb for what I experience with a general contractor is $7,500 a week.
I'm taking notes. Side note, when I started this podcast, I always said I don't care if anybody ever listens to it. Now, a lot of people do. We get, you know, thousands of downloads a month. But, you know, the benefit for me was to force myself every week to network and to learn. And so when I get a gentleman like yourself on here that is basically doing what I'm doing, but several steps ahead, man, I just take this opportunity to pick your brain and just see, you know, how I can improve my business by asking you these questions. So, you know, excuse me for taking notes, because I'm learning from the older and the wiser and the more experienced here.
Well, I tell you what, the most successful people walking around are avid learners, avid readers, and have a quest for continuing to learn.
So that kind of is a good caveat to our radio round, which we'll get to in a second. But before we hop there, I just wanted to ask, what is your general advice that you have for somebody who's maybe just getting started, or somebody who's, you know, maybe flipped a few houses or got a few rentals, but looking to really, really ramp it up?
Well, just from my own personal experience, I mean, don't make the mistake I did. Don't make the mistake for your first 6 years in business of allowing your funding sources to make the rules. I mean, I was at, I was under their thumb for 6 years. I mean, I couldn't close quickly. I had a limit to my line of credit. You know, in this world of private money, there's no limit. There's no limit to the number of private lenders you can have. There's no limit to the amount of private money you can have. And, you know, when you are sitting in a position to where you get to make the rules as far as your funding goes, and, you know, what's your loan to value, you know, what's your, you know, all your criteria, when you're making the rules, I mean, it fixes your cash flow. So my advice is, don't wait to get this private money thing. Start attracting and raising private money now. And I mean, just imagine, how are you going to feel when you got $500,000 in private money burning a hole in your back pocket to go make offers? You know, I got a friend, Sterling, that says, oh, just go get the house under contract. The money will show up. Where? Where's the money going to show up, right? Particularly if you want to stay in the deal. Now, if you're wholesaling and, you know, you got a buyer's list of real estate investors, that's another story. But if you want to stay in the deal, where's the money going to show up? Imagine how much more confident and how many more offers you're going to make with private money, burning a hole in your pocket, having the funding lined up and ready to go. That's my advice. Don't make the mistake I did the first 6 years. Get the money. I mean, there's always deals. There's always deals, right? Stop chasing the deals. Get the money first, and then you ain't got to worry about missing out on any deals.
Absolutely. Well, real quick to hop to our radio round in the sake of time. The first question is, and this kind of is a continuation of you talking about being a constant learner. What's your favorite book?
University of Success by Og Mandino. It changed my life. It changed my thinking when I was 24 years old. And University of Success, it's a book, but it's still in print. And university, I mean, every chapter is a different professor. All the contributors to the book are names from the past that you will recognize. And each chapter, each semester, each session is like 3 or 4 pages. So it's so easily digestible, and it covers every element and area of personal development that you could think of.
Awesome. I'll have to go check it out. What's your favorite quote?
Successes are scheduled, which means I don't believe in to-do list. I believe in taking what I need done and getting it on the calendar. And once it's on the calendar, it gets done. Successes are scheduled.
I love that. I've never heard that before. What's your favorite thing to do outside of work?
That's because you never had me on your show.
What's your favorite thing to do outside of work?
Write music. My wife, Carol Joy, and I write music together. It's sort of crazy. I write piano music. My music's in Universal Studios movies. You never heard of my music, but you've heard of the movies. And so I met my wife, Carol Joy, in Texas. First Sunday in town was at church. So we're very active in church, and we write spiritual music and secular songs as well.
Awesome. Love it. Where can our listeners find out more about you, get in touch with you, and keep up with you?
Well, I tell you, Sterling, I'm excited about a new private money guide that I just recently finished writing. It's called 7 Reasons Why Private Money Will Skyrocket Your Real Estate Business and Help You Build Incredible Wealth. And it's my free gift to you and your audience. You can download this private money guide for free at www.jayconner.com/money guide. Again, I'm an ER, not an OR. That's jayconner.com/money guide. Will get you on the fast track to having more private money than you can spend.
Awesome. Jay, thank you so much for joining us. I really enjoyed it. I learned a ton. I know our listeners will too. And thank you so much for the free guide. I just look forward to keeping up with you on your journey.
You bet. Sterling, thank you so much for having me on. God bless you.
This episode was brought to you by Crestworth Capital. If you're a busy professional and ready to make passive income from real estate investing, then go to crestworthcapital.com, where you'll be able to download a free copy of our ebook to help you get started today. Until next week, happy investing.